The International Digital Dental Academy Podcast, Media Partner FMC. Welcome to the future of dentistry.
So everybody, this is another IDDA podcast. Today we have the pleasure of chatting over lunch on the 3D printing course with Chris Orr. Chris, you all know from Advanced Dental Seminars, very gifted in aesthetics. And Chris, we'll have you chatting with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So, do you know what? We've already chatted a lot of stuff that we're going to talk about here, so we're going to have to recap a little bit. Tell us, Chris, why you're here on the course today.
Well, I've dabbled a bit with 3D printing, so all in all, printing non-dental things. And my journey there, basically, there are so many variables, so many different things that you need to do to find. It's easier if you see what somebody else is doing and just implement their workflow. So I'm saving myself, I hope, a lot of time and frustration by seeing what you guys do because you do it every day. And so far, you make it great. Look, it seems extremely easy. But it's just interesting to see that this is becoming more and more part of our workflow. I remember seeing, I think, second version of CEREC at a conference in Hong Kong in 1995, and it's a million miles away from what we do today. And those days, you had to really, really be into it. It was a complete pain to use, but people did. People adopted it. I used some of the, not that version of CEREC, the next version of CEREC at a place I worked in. It was good fun. I have to be honest and say that I think everybody has different views on how involved they want to be in doing every aspect of the case. I do like outsourcing stuff. I'm not going to be the person who'll be sitting up at midnight playing around with files and mesh mixer or whatever to print out for the next.
You want to just work.
I want somebody else to do that bit for me.
But
it's a common question: is this the way forward? Yeah, if you want it to be, it can be. But the other method is getting somebody to do it for you. Interesting thing, actually, I always say to people come on our courses, go and visit your lab.
Yeah.
Go say hello to the technician. And while you're there, have a look at how much stuff they're doing digitally.
Definitely.
And more than you think, because the labs are way, way, way ahead of
the chair. Definitely. They've got a lot
of room. But I don't think everybody appreciates that.
No, not at all. That's why we tried, early days, a few years ago now, when we were doing things with the group, and DDA, and IDDA is involved too, we really tried to get lab technicians on board and showing cases on them, discussing stuff, because they've got a massive experience with all of the digital equipment way before us. Meanwhile, dentists were dabbling with the CEREC side of things, and that was becoming better for chair side of dentistry. There was a lot more advanced tools with scanners, the CAD software, milling and bigger units.
Lab software, it's like Excel.
That's been awesome. You've obviously held a lot of positions in different parts of dentistry, and you've had a long journey of bringing and inspiring the dental profession. Tell us a little bit about how you go about getting involved with this and what sort of enjoyment do you get out of it? In other words, are you still inspired by dentistry and do you still look forward to going to work every day?
Okay. Yes, I suppose I do look forward to going to work every day. Dentistry is fun, and when it stops being fun, that's when I will stop doing it. My journey started actually, funny, I mentioned that at a conference in Hong Kong. I met a Swedish guy called Sverker Ploroskog. First time I met him. And what he was doing at that time was really pushing the envelope with adhesively bonded porcelain restoration. At the time, the adhesion wasn't easy, and the porcelain wasn't really ready for doing that particular thing, but he made it work. And having been friends with him for many years, and in some of my early jobs, putting some of the things I've done with him into practice, I realised actually that dentistry could be very, very different from what the university had taught me. So things kind of snowballed from there, and unfortunately, there are some things that have not changed. You need to know your materials, you need to know your processes, so that you can learn what you can get away with, where you can push the envelope a little bit, and then challenge things and then that becomes the next bit of fun.
Well, you know, it's like we were talking about before we started recording. One of the things, you know, some of you watching will know or listening will know about Chris. Chris oversees everything with the prestigious Aesthetic Dentistry Awards. And I think I'm right in saying they're probably the most well-respected awards out of all dental awards, simply because everybody knows how strict they are with the judging, how strict it is with the entry, with, you know, the amount of documentation you have to put. And if you win those, then it's, you know, it's a real achievement. And it's even just, you know, what we were talking about before is it's really nice to see the standards of other dentists and aspire to stuff. I think, you know, over the lockdown period, number one, I really missed, we said before, I really missed the Aesthetic Awards. But the other thing is, I think it's probably been a lot more case display aspiration that I've seen with people showing techniques because of all the webinars and things like that. Maybe less so when people were closed down, but I think it's giving people a little more time to reflect from what I hear and chat to people anyway. Yeah. And I think hopefully, you know, future ones will see probably a big improvement in people there. But
well, it's interesting, when we started those awards, we started 12 years ago.
Yeah.
What we've always been surprised at is how high the standard of many places is.
Yeah.
There's the odd thing that comes in, you go, okay, that's not going to make the shortlist, but actually doing the shortlist thing, which is my job,
difficult.
To go through and look at every single thing that's come in,
yeah.
It's increasingly a difficult job because you're looking, well, this is excellent, and this is excellent, and this one's excellent, this one. So which one, because you can't have a shortlist of 25 names, it's just not sensible. So the standards are always very good. The myth that somehow dentistry is no good in this country, that's completely not true.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're talking about inspirational things. It inspired me looking at the standards that other people are working at. You look at that, it's
beautiful stuff.
Including the stuff that you guys sent in, which is extremely good.
Well, Jerry, I'll tell you who's not here, and I know you're yourself with a lot of the composite stuff, which are to go back around a circle with the 3D printing course. Something which, you know, prime example of a beautiful inclusion of technology from someone who's so gifted. Look at Tom Seeley with the SmartPath stuff with composite and his, I mean, he's a gifted dentist in his own right, uses gifted technicians, and using 3D printing mock-ups. And, you know, that's something which I'm guessing is a path you can go down with the composite stuff. But
the SmartPath stuff, I think, is really excellent. I went to that course a few months ago, and I really have to give a lot of credit to Tom and me for not just coming up with the idea, but making something that works in the hands of other people.
Yeah.
Because you've seen so many protocols for things. I don't know how many times I've sat at a conference and watched somebody describe a way of doing shade matching from photographs.
Yeah.
Which only works some of the time in the hands of the person who originally made it.
Then
you have fans, you know, you look at things like Elan, Sasha Hines pulled off, it's almost miraculous.
Yeah.
You have something that other people who are not the inventor can actually make it work.
Yeah.
And, you know, greatly respect to Tom and Biddy for coming up with something that is easy, that you can do, that works well for normal dentists with a decent amount of motivation, rather than being just something only superstars can do. Mm-hmm. Which in turn, of course, means that we can do better dentistry for our patients, which is ultimately why we're here.
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, great respect.
Following on from that, I was going to say, do you think, Chris, that have you seen with the awards entries more integration of digital and a higher standard because of that?
Or a mix? I don't believe so. There probably are more things being done, at least partially digitally, over the last 5 years.
Or involvement in all lab based.
There would probably be, I don't think there are any cases that are done 100% analog. I think there are very few cases that are done 100% digital. Because if you look at all the workflows, people tend to jump in and out of, particularly the lab, analog and digital workflow as it suits them. I think they may do that on a case by case basis.
Yeah.
Does the digital stuff mean we get an overall higher standard of entries? Or I suppose as a wider thing, does digital mean that we overall do better dentistry?
Mm.
Again, we were talking about this before.
Yeah.
It is sort of yes and no to that. Yes, from the point of view, as you were saying about, you know, chair side quality control. You look at the caps and go, oh my god, did I do that?
Yeah.
So, we've all been through that with our scanners, but we get better at prepping. you can do more quality control in terms of space that you made for the lab at the test time. If you can be bothered, you have to make the extra effort to do it, but overall you get better. I think also where digital does help us is in the area of reproducibility. So whatever you've mocked up, whatever you've planned, it's much easier for the technician to actually then make that install rather than you've waxed it up by hand. And then you're trying to replicate that in the final ceramic, and it doesn't always go all that. It's not an easy task.
No, it's not.
You know, that point is exactly the reason why I got into digital
dentistry.
Is because I did a few wax up for patients, and the lab just couldn't replicate that wax up from what we put into the patient's mouth.
Exactly.
And I thought there must be a way where we can do this. And that's where that was in 2010-11 where I started delving into the digital stuff. And that's such a true point.
That's in a way why years later, and something we'll go over this afternoon, is the two-ply side of things. With this two-ply, because it's just synonymous with just beauty and thing. And integrating those into your workflow, choosing the right tooth shape, it's the same shape then, no matter which part of the process you've got, whether it's 2D mock-up, 3D mock-up, the CAD design, the lab technicians now, they've got the lab is installed. And
it's predictability.
But it's really all about predictability. Working with, I've learned a lot, I think, with you guys from Christian Coachman. Christian always says, you need to be able to deliver what you promised to him. Very, very important. The other thing you mentioned, Jan, I'm very happy that Jan has finally found a way of actually earning some money from that product. Because when it started, it was like a book and you bought the models as well.
And so many people take
them. And there was nothing else that he could. The amount of time and effort that he put into gathering up those beautiful variations of natural dentition, photographing them, making the book, having the models available to him. I think his original goal was people to learn morphology. But that unfortunately isn't easy to get an income stream from.
He's a lovely guy.
He's so nice. I think he'd probably give it away if somebody else had said, you need to be a bit more commercial about it. But honestly, the thing is, it's so good that somebody's actually found a use for it. Because it's excellent. And as you say, you can copy and paste and copy and paste. I think there is a little bit of danger in that if there is one tooth shape that you like, you're going to use it all the time. Maybe pay a little bit more attention to how you're doing things, but exactly which line you're picking. Because again, one of the things I realized Christian used to do all that talking about the sort of morpho psychology. Where you try to pick your tooth shapes based on the patient's personality. And what I realized actually was that I was giving the patient tooth shapes that I liked. So that my post-op pictures were the ones that I would like looking at. And since I started doing it, because when he talks about it, it sounds a little bit out there, let's say. But actually, I'm now doing stuff where the patient gets what they like. Sometimes I don't quite like
the exact shapes that they do. It's when they're all flat mark that they want.
Simplest way, does your journey in the industry take you next?
I think probably my big project for this year is to blend a little bit more of our learning offering together. Because people call us up and say, how much of your course is online? We don't have a good answer for that, because sometimes people want to hear none of it's online, everything's face-to-face, or they want to hear all of it's online because they're on the other side of the world. And we can try and blend those things together.
It's difficult when there's a lot of composite stuff in here, the aesthetic stuff.
Well, dexterity skills as well. That's the problem.
What it actually would mean that we can do a lot more of the sort of presentation type stuff. We can have that available online for people to do at home when they want. And then you do come together for face-to-face stuff, for doing composite, for doing preps, for learning how to do impressions and scan, and all the other kinds of things, including Facebook.
It's a duck.
It's Facebook and things like that. It just means that you can use that time together much more productively. Because ultimately, if somebody's taking a day out of their practice to come for a course, you want to try and make sure they get the best value and pack as much stuff So that's what keeps me busy.
And let's hope
at least the rest of the year.
The end of June does come to fruition and we can do loads more hands on.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Well,
with our little masks, and I'm tired of everything tasting hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to eat the hand
sanitizer. Or drink it.
I hope somebody said, I never imagined that in all my life my hands would consume more alcohol than my
body. Oh, hands are so high.
Yeah.
I tell you what, doesn't help, and something which I haven't talked about upstairs yet, is when we're doing 3D printing, I need to tell them always to wear gloves. Because my hands, look how dry they are. And this is bending, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But it's sensitized to it. And even worse when you're using alcohol all the time, it goes crazy.
So need to minimize that.
Anyway, it's been a lovely chat.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We're gonna have a crack on the balls, I think. So
thanks
for
speaking.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Cheers everybody. See you later. Bye.
The International Digital Dental Academy Podcast, Media Partner FMC. Welcome to the future of dentistry.